Okay, let's pray. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we get to turn to you and get to turn to your word, and that we can just step into Christ right now, the presence of the Almighty God. And we thank you for the worship this morning and the power of the Holy Spirit during worship. And like Cindy said, we pray for our veterans, all the veterans that protect this country and give us freedom to do what we're doing today. And it is a privilege, and we do not look at it as being as a light thing. Bless these words this morning. We thank you for the body of Christ, your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So last week we talked about David, and if you didn't get that, hear that, you know, you can go onto our website. But we talked how he said, "I have hid thy word in my heart." And we learned on how to hide the word of God in my heart, how to secretly place it where the enemy cannot rob or steal it from us, because we learn to live by every word of God. We are sustained by God's word. We get encouragement. We get built up. We fight the attacks of the enemy, not by prayer, believe it or not, but by every word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, which he was in prayer, he didn't pray. He said, "No, it is written." He used the word of God to defeat Satan. So we hide that word. We hide that word within our hearts. We learn to secretly place it. Secretly place it. And then in Psalm 141, we're... David went into this prayer and he cried out to God, right? Remember? He was crying out to God, and he was asking God, "Will you hear me?" And that's so amazing. Will you hear me, God? And today I want to think about and talk about God's thoughts towards us. And not just God's thoughts towards us, but how can we have continuous, ongoing thoughts towards God? Because that's what it's about. Is how do I get my mind off of worldly details and on thinking with God? His thoughts, which are possible. And we talked about if God is hearing. And there's many areas in the Psalms where it says God inclines to us. He comes forward. He comes into our realm and he listens. So we know he listens and he hears. And how do we learn to stay so close to God? The Bible tells us in Hosea 11:4 that God draws us. He draws us with cords of love that can never be broken. No matter what happens with us and our reaction, God will not stop loving you. We think it depends upon us. We think it depends upon our actions and what we do, but it doesn't. It depends on what he did for you. And we just need to believe that by faith. And this is why it's cords of love. The three-stranded cord. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in love, and he draws us. So when David was praying and saying, listen and come close and bring your ear, it's not that God, I want to make sure we understand this, it's not that God drifts away from us. He's always present. He's always there. He's always available. It's we that draw farther from him. We withdraw ourselves from God, you know. And this is, remember last week, this was a man after God's own heart. And he was fearful within his heart. He did not trust his own heart, thinking that he could fall in sin against God. So how do we draw near? We want to learn to draw near, of course, to the cross of Jesus Christ. We want to stay so close to the cross. We want our minds thinking upon the cross and all that it represented, everything that the cross represented, forgiveness of our sins, the washing of our sins. He paid for our sins. But we also find mercy at the cross. It's the only place where God meets us over mercy. And at the cross, he has said, your sins will not be held against you because of what my son has done. So we want to stay so close to that cross. And every aspect, what Christ did upon the cross, we want to keep that in our minds. Another thing we want to stay so close to is the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about miles or dimension or distance, being close. We're talking about being in it and being part of it. Because in the body of Christ, we learn about God. Only in the body of Christ we learn about God. We learn about his love. We learn about God's grace. We learn that in the church, in the body, with each other. We learn to serve. You can't learn to serve outside the body of Christ. It doesn't work. It doesn't happen. It must be within the church. And I just pray that people will get a vision of the body. Remember, Jesus Christ came to build his church. It's Christ's church. It's not man's church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. So we don't forsake it. A.W. Tozer said, anything that comes between me and my Bible is my enemy. And you can say the same thing for the church. Anything that comes between me and coming to church is your enemy. We must take it that serious. And if you see the day approaching, the Bible says you should be going even more. It should be within us. But we learn to serve and we learn about God. And not only just learn it, we practice it. We practice what we hear right here in this church. You can practice to be gracious to one another. If you can't be gracious to one another, how are you going to be gracious to people outside? We can't even be gracious to our own. You know? So we learn that. We learn that right here. We learn to be kind. We learn to care. We learn to care for one another right here. And again, the same. How are you going to care for the lost if you can't care for God's own people? And it happens here. So it's not just coming to hear the message, which is wonderful, and it does it. But we learn. We learn to practice what we hear right here in the body of Christ. And then we have the Holy Spirit who starts to teach us. And the Holy Spirit will show us that there's an outpouring of God's love right here in the church. All from the Holy Spirit. All from the Holy Spirit. So the body of Christ is important, and we draw near to God's people. We draw near to God's people. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 139. How to have thoughts towards God. And I know we think about them. And I think me and Steve were talking about this a couple Tuesdays ago. I mean, it's like he's on our mind. But more regularly and more often and more consistent. You know, Psalm 94:4 says that our thoughts are vanity. Our thoughts are empty. We have empty thoughts. And we want to fill those empty thoughts with solid, God-given, the Word of God. And this then is what becomes hid within my heart. We don't know how to respond or react to anybody outside of God's Word. It must be under the grace and the authority of the Almighty Father. So, verse 17. Psalm 139, verse 17, it says, "How precious are thy thoughts towards me, O God. How precious are thy thoughts towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them." So God's thoughts are measured here a little bit in a sum, a great sum. And listen, God is thinking of you today. And that's just mind-blowing just to sit and dwell upon that. God's thoughts are about you. God is thinking about you. God's thoughts are towards you. Constantly, consistently, ongoing. He doesn't have a thought outside of you. How's that? Every thought that God has is about you, concerning you, and drawing you with those thoughts. And those thoughts are precious. They're precious thoughts. God's thoughts are so precious. The thoughts of God towards us. And how you look at it is this. So God's thoughts are towards me. It means all of God's attention is on me. You know, most of us are always looking because we are so needy. We're a needy group. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Boy, are you needy?" No, no, don't say that. No. Don't go there. But we are needy. We are always needy. We have a need somewhere. And it's a strong need. Because if the need doesn't get fulfilled, then I get depressed. I get bummed out. I have a mood swing because the need is never being met. So we look to others, and we, because of we're so needy, we need attention. We need attention. Relationships are found because we need attention. And in the beginning of the relationship, it's so amazing because Spike cares for me. He's giving me so much attention. I'm getting all this attention from this guy I just met. He's my dream guy. Oh my God, he's amazing. And this is how I go through it. And then all of a sudden, 3 months later, where'd he go? The guy's not even talking to you no more. He doesn't care as much. He only has that attention because it's new to him. Or he wants something. I'm just saying. But we crave this attention. We always want attention. We always look for attention. And here's the thing. Because God's got thoughts for you, his attention is with you. So if you have an area where you're lonely or depressed or you need something or you're looking for somebody to go to give you attention, don't go to the world. Go to God. Because the attention is always there. He is always concerned about every single one of your needs in the form of attention. And nobody can give us attention like God can give us. He gives you attention because his thoughts are towards you. And those thoughts are precious. Those thoughts are precious. The Hebrew word for precious is amazing. Because in the precious presence of God, he's thinking of us. But the word in the Hebrew, very precious, this is great. The word very precious means very costly. Very costly. Let me explain this. So God's thoughts are costly. When we were enemies, like Steve was saying, when we were enemies with God, the Bible says that God sent his only son. In a time of great need, in a time where we rejected him, Christ died. The godly for the ungodly. What an exchange. But he sent his son to die. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ shed his blood. Shed his blood for your sins. He purchased you. He paid the price. And he paid that price in full. He didn't temporary pay it. He didn't put a down payment down and said for you to pay the rest. Just put it in layaway and pay it on plan. And that's what some people think. They are still paying for their own sins. We think we pay for our sins with our behavior. But it's not a behavior issue. It's a sin issue. It's something that you could never pay for. Because you don't know the price. You don't know the cost. You don't know how much. And whatever it is, it's more than that. The richest billionaire in the world couldn't pay for a drop of your sin. But Christ shed his blood. And the Father said, that's enough. That's enough. He paid it in full. And it became very costly. It was Christ's blood. That was the price. So when he says that his thoughts are very precious and very costly, what it means is God paid to think about you. He paid to think about you. Who's going to give you that attention? God paid to think about each and every one of us in this room with the price of his, with the price of his blood. And that's why he thinks about you. Because his son died for you. He cannot think of anything else but you. Even when you're a sinner. That's what's so amazing. So God's thoughts, God's mind has precious thoughts towards you. Now the Bible says in Isaiah 55 that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And how can we reciprocate the same thoughts towards God? Because this is what we want more of. Because if you're not thinking godly thoughts, you're thinking other thoughts. And it's those other thoughts that feel like you are now drifting and separated so far from God. And we must think about this mind, that an ungodly mind will think ungodly thoughts. It can't think anything else. Every thought it produces is ungodly. A troubled mind will think troubled thoughts. Everything's trouble. Everything is trouble. I've troubled this. I've got trouble with my marriage. I've got trouble with my finances. And everything, what's in our mind and in our thoughts, comes out of our heart and out of our mouth. Trouble. I'm always speaking of trouble. Jesus said to Martha, Martha, you are troubled of many things. Your mind and your thoughts are cluttered with trouble. We must learn to reprogram our mind and our thoughts. And this is where we hide the word deep in our heart. Because whatever's in the heart will come out. This is why the word of God needs to be there. A worried mind will think what? Worried. Worried what? Worried thoughts. I'm worried about everything. Everything's worrying me. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? It's all about worry. And our thoughts, our mind has been captured by our thoughts. Our minds have been captured by worldly, ungodly thoughts. We got to get that word of God in there. We've got to get the word of God. Once the word of God gets into our mind, our thoughts will think on what's in our mind. And not just in our mind, because we just don't want it knowledge. We must get the word of God out of our mind and into our heart. An anxious mind will think anxious thoughts. Are you anxious today? Are you anxious? Philippians says, don't be anxious for anything. But with prayer and supplication, make your request be made known unto God. Don't be anxious. We're anxious about things next week already. We got a beautiful holiday coming tomorrow that we can relax, but most of us are beyond that already. We're already thinking about what I have to do on Monday or Tuesday, right? Yeah, Monday, what? Tuesday. That's anxiety. Anxiety leads to stress. Stress builds into worry. Worry cripples the mind and the soul. You become crippled with all that stuff. Those things hinder you. It's not walking by faith. You're walking by worry. You're walking by stress. You're working by anxiety. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. You're right. I never went through it. Yeah. Never tell people they don't understand unless you walk in their shoes. I have no right to tell somebody here that, oh, come on, just get over it. Where's your faith? No, because you don't know what's going on in their life. We give that up to prayer. We pray for that person. We invest in that person. We become part of the body. We serve that person. That's what they need. They don't need to tell you that they're wrong in what they're doing. They need to know that you're there and you support them and you love them in the situation. It's easy to criticize. It's very difficult to encourage and build up. Build them up in the most holy faith in Jude. Edifying, building up. Wow. You know, it's easy to speak trouble and anxiety and stress and worry. It's easy to have that mind and communicate those thoughts. It's much harder to talk about love and grace and mercy and faith. God's thoughts. God's thoughts. God's mind. Yeah. A fearful mind will have fearful thoughts. You don't need to raise your hand. Anybody here living in fear? There's a way to change the thinking of our minds. A distorted mind will have distorted thoughts. You're distorted. Means you're all over the place. One day you're on the mountain, then you're in the valley and saying, woe is me. It's so hard carrying this cross. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5, God says, the whole head is sick. Sick mind. Sick mind will lead to what? Sick thoughts. This is God's viewpoint of a fallen nature. Because a sick mind wants to be treated, but the treatment is wrong. They want to medicate. They want to numb it. God says, I've got a solution. You ever try a fullness dose of Jesus Christ? Let's try that. Take that 3 times, 4 times a day. Morning, afternoon, and evening. Get that intake. You're not taking enough of it. Are you off your Jesus medication? I told you don't go off that stuff. You know how whacked you're going to get. Yes, we need this word. We need the word of God. So, God's observation of us is a precious thought always upon you. And he looks over. We call this in our ministry focused thinking, even forward thinking. It's scanning the area. It's like the great shepherd. Our Savior is a great shepherd, and he scans the area. That shepherd's thoughts are always on the sheep. Always. What are they doing? What's that one doing? Look what that one's doing. Not again the same thing. Mm-hmm. Didn't we deal with this last week? But he scans the area. And then he thinks. He thinks of where am I going to get them water? Where am I going to get them shelter? Where am I going to give them pasture? Where are they going to eat? Is it green fields? Oh, what about the enemy? It's not our job to think about all those things. It's the shepherd's job, because his thoughts are on you. And it's always in your benefit. God is for you. Some of us go through problems and we think, wow, God is out to get me. No, this is happening in your life to draw you near to him. Only purpose, only reason, to conform you to the image of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:17. No other purpose but to put Christ more within your heart. And we, in closing, we think about this, that we, in life, we hold dear to us what is precious. If something is precious in your life, you're going to hold it very close, no matter what it is. And this is what God does with us. And then he says this to you. He says, you know what? I want you to have thoughts of me like I have thoughts of you. And we can only do that with one way. And that is when we learn to have the mind of Christ in Philippians chapter 2. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. No matter what he was going through, his mind was on the Father. He had thoughts of God. He counseled with God. He was praying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And in all suffering and in all situations of life, he says, it's just to have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul said. To have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ doesn't come against what's going on. The situations don't control my thinking. Some of us think and make decisions based on the circumstance and the situation. But we don't want to do that, because the precious presence of God is greater than even deliverance.
Yes.
God's presence, knowing that God is with me in this storm of life or this detailed situation I'm going in, knowing that God is with me in that, is greater than him delivering me from it. Mm-hmm. We want deliverance, but we don't want his presence. So if we have worried thoughts, fearful thoughts, anxious thoughts, roaming around up here, and that's all they do is roam around. This is why we hide the Word of God in my heart. Because you know where it's at. It's here. And it's real. When it gets in your heart, it becomes real. These things are all just Roman. They're not real. They're a feeling. They're emotion. We can sense it. But they're not eternal. And the Word of God that's hidden in my heart is eternal. That's where my precious promise comes from. This is why I make it and I hold it as precious to me. We must hide that Word of God within my heart. And that Word that's hidden in my heart will overrule all the anxiousness, all the fearfulness, all the anxiety, you know, all of that stuff. Because the Word of God, we get to stand upon that Word. That Word becomes my rock, and the rock shall not be moved. Things around me could be shaken and could be moved, could be falling apart. We might even see part of my rock falling away. But that firm foundation is solid enough for me to stand upon it and to claim it even for my family and my life. And to start praying for the church and the body of Christ. And now we start to walk by faith. Because we can only walk by faith if we have the Word of God within me. Faith is things that are not seen. Faith is what God tells me to believe and to trust in Him. And will we trust in Him when I've got trouble and fear and anxiety and all this stuff all around me? Do I still trust God? Draw close to God. Let Him draw you by love. Be so close that nothing can come between you and God. Experience the cross. Experience the body of Christ. And have thoughts of God as He has thoughts of you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these thoughts. Thoughts of love and mercy. And these thoughts are more than the sands of the sea, the Bible tells us. Can you imagine trying to count them? That's God's thoughts towards you. Always thinking of you. Always drawing you to His Son. Always picking you up and lifting you up. Always investing in you. Always opening your heart to allow the Word of God and the love of God to flow within you. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, that we can have thoughts to you. Lord, I pray for the offering and the closing song. And for our upcoming trip. And for Pastor Keith next week. For the Word of God. We just love you. And we thank you for all that you're doing within our lives. Precious, precious thoughts of God. Precious thoughts of God upon your people. Precious thoughts. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you for worship. God has attention on you. God is interested in you. What a loving God we have. Lord, just protect your people. Cover them. Cover them with grace. Cover them with your mercy. Cover them within the body of Christ. We pray for our fellowship. We pray for this Memorial Day. And bless the chili dogs. Yeah. And your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Continue to pray for me on the trip. Thank you. We love you. Huh? Oh, yeah. I shut it off.